everybody, go ahead and come in and find a seat. There's some handouts in the back. I will refill some of those handouts in the back. We're going to go ahead and get started. And then I'll say a prayer and introduce our speaker tonight. And then after class, I'll have you, if you haven't gotten fitted for your owl, to leave here and go straight to... There'll be a door open and a bathroom in between the two doors. It's called the ministry room. And someone will be in there with the lights on, door open. So go in there and get your fitted for your house if you are. This is for our elect. Sorry. If you don't have a star on your blue, ignore everything I said. But and you guys can go in your church. But if you have a star and you're part of the elect, then you need to go get fitted for your out. As soon as I said that, my brain caught up to me what I was talking about. Okay, let's start with a prayer. Can you hear me in the back okay? Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God in heaven, we come to you tonight. We thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for the warm sunshine that we've been enjoying. And we thank you for everybody that is here tonight. We ask that you send down your spirit upon all of us here and open our hearts and open our minds and be with Catherine as she talks about prayer and your prayer, Lord, that you gave us. And we just ask that you bless the families of the people here tonight and be with all of us tonight. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Catherine Fierro. I have known Catherine for a long time. We journeyed through the Bible together.
For a year and a half, Bible?
And the catechism?
No.
No, you didn't do the catechism. I gave her a hard time. But Bible and a year together, Bible and a year and a half is pretty more accurate. I'm currently doing that now. she has great knowledge and is willing to come and help me teach. So I'm going to let her take it away tonight so I can just sit down and relax. Go.
You can put that to your right.
Yes.
There you go. Do a test. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. Way in back for me?
Okay. Top left.
Okay. All right. So tonight we're going to go over the Lord's Prayer. I know you guys have had this before. We'll probably go over it again soon after I do it because it's just that important. It's the centerpiece of everything. So, the Lord's Prayer is also known as the Our Father, the Paternoster. It's got some other names. Back when, the Jewish people thought that it shouldn't be called the Our Father because he didn't sin and he didn't trespass against anybody. So. Then they started calling it the Disciples' Prayer. So it has many, many names, but it's the same thing. So to start with, coming from Galilee, Jesus met his first disciples. He had taught all over Galilee, teaching at their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity along the way. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. A lot of big crowds were following him. So they followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So there was a lot of people following him. So seeing the crowds that were coming up to listen to him pray and preach, he went up to the mountain so that everybody can hear him pray. And when he was up there, that's where the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray like he did to his father. So he responded to them, "Your father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in a way," and he taught them the Lord's Prayer. Pray that in this way. So in contrast with other prayers, to understand why this one was so different, we can look at what else was happening in the first century. So at that time, Judea was under Roman occupation, and other people were looking for spiritual guidance that felt personal and direct. So they were often transactional. The people there were just transactional. So people would say long list of names and titles for a dot, hoping that if they got the words right and said the name long enough and said it over and over and spent hours and hours praying, that they would get special favors. They didn't. Okay, so those prayers are really beautiful prayers too, and some of the official prayers, and I'm not even going to try this, it's a Hebrew Jewish name, but the prayer itself is the 18 benedictions, or the blessings, referring to the number of blessings that they wanted out of that prayer. But there's actually 19 of them. One was added to be prayed during the week. So those prayers consist of three parts: praise, personal or national requests, and thanksgiving. So these prayers were very long and formal. Since they were used, they were really long prayers. Jesus' prayer was like a disruptor. It skipped the long preambles and got straight to the point. So looking back at the historical context, the people were transitioning from seeing God as a really distant, far-off creator, king, to seeing him as a loving, providing father. So in a world where people couldn't read or write, most of them, a short rhythmic prayer was easier to memorize and pass down to the next generation. So the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray like he did, and Jesus responded with the most famous prayer of all Christianity, the Lord's Prayer. So the prayer begins by establishing a relationship and a sense of reverence toward God, our Father who art in heaven. So, hallowed be thy name. So those three sentences made it really reverent. His name was to be honored. Hallowed means to make it holy, make it reverent. And in heaven, this sets the scale, acknowledging that God's perspective has authority all over the entire universe. And so it wasn't just a statement, it was like a request that God's reputation be treated with the highest accord and respect. So the next part, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this context, a will refers to someone's desires or plans. In heaven, the idea is that everything happens on earth and in heaven exactly as God intends it to happen. So now the prayer shifts to the big picture, the global and universal request to our other daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, that literally refers to food. Many people see it as a request for everything we need to survive every day. Every day. There's not one day that goes by when we don't need, like, shelter, health, or even something like emotional or physical strength. So I don't know. Why do you think the prayer asks for daily bread instead of a month's worth? Anybody know? Can you guess? It's because it would go bad. They couldn't carry it. It would go bad. So by asking only for what they need, the prayer shifts the focus from worrying about the distant future to trusting for the immediate present. This reminds us of the story of manna in the desert, where people were told to collect only enough food for one day at a time, because if they tried to hoard it, it would rot in the future. It just wouldn't last. So that part of the prayer teaches us a few concepts. Dependence, recognizing that we rely on help every single day, not just for emergencies. Contentment, being satisfied with having enough for right now, rather than being consumed by more, and more. Presence, it's staying focused on today's challenges and blessings instead of being overwhelmed by next month's, next week's what ifs. So then our prayer moves to the physical needs, to our relational health. And this one is really, really the big part, I think. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So nobody is going to get forgiven if you don't learn how to forgive. The line is unique because it links our own request for mercy to the mercy we show others. If someone asks for forgiveness but refuses to forgive a friend who hurt them or did them wrong, that's going to affect their experience of that part of the prayer. And it's a powerful duo because receiving mercy and giving mercy are two sides of the same coin. When we hold on to a grudge, it's like being weighed down, having an anchor around your neck, something like that. By asking for forgiveness while also forgiving others, the prayer encourages like a clean slate, kind of like going to confession. Feels great afterwards. So when you forgive somebody, even though you don't want to, but you know you should, and you do it, it's awesome. So, it just suggests that you can't fully enjoy the freedom of being forgiven if we're still holding someone else captive for their mistakes. And so now the final section that focuses on guidance and protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This part acknowledges that life is full of potholes, difficult choices, selfish impulses, and harmful situations. Temptation, that refers to the inner pull. We know that feeling as Satan, trying to get us to do something that we know isn't right. Deliver us from evil. This is a request for protection from outside harms or spiritual brokenness. Think about the times you had to make a really tough choice between what was easy and doing what was right. Pray the prayer before you make that decision. Jesus has designed this prayer so that we can ask for his help, his guidance, and his protection from outside influences, harms, spiritual brokenness, and all levels of harm from Satan, accidents, and illnesses. Pretty powerful. Amen. We usually think of amen as an end to a prayer, like a period at the end of a sentence. It actually has its own deep meaning that functions like a mini prayer. The word amen comes from a Hebrew root word meaning certainty. It's truth, it's truthfulness. When you say it, you aren't just saying goodbye to God after the prayer. You're saying, yes, I agree with that. Yes, let it be so. Yes, that's the truth. Yes, yes, yes. So make your amens count. And when you say it, when you say it in that sense, then it can be a prayer all on its own, an act of total agreement that you trust in what God says and what he's promised. And it's like a verbal signature on a contract, the contract between you and God. This is why when you receive Holy Communion, and I know there's at least one or two EMs in here, when the priest, the deacon, or an EM holds that host up right before you take communion and says the body of Christ, you respond with amen before you take the host. Amen. Whether it's the host or the goblet, amen. As soon as they offer it to you, amen. Yes, this is the truth. I believe in that host. I believe that that's the blood of Christ. Amen. Okay, in that sense, amen can be a prayer. That's an act all on its own. So this is why when you receive, we do say it. Make sure that you do say it. It's powerful. But before we do anything else with amen, we're going to talk about the final doxology for a moment. Before we reach it, that amen, we have one more powerful statement. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. This wasn't part of the original prayer. It was formally added to the prayer in English liturgy during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, around 1558 to 1603. So the addition was a result of the Church of England's effort to distance itself from the Roman Catholic Church because didn't want anything to do with it. And that, when the final split came, I think it was under King Henry VIII, I think, the doxology Everything about it runs so deep, and it has so many historical and political attributes that I'm going to stop with that right here and let one of you do it for your presentation next year. So, the Lord's Prayer has seven petitions in two parts. Part one, these things are Godward towards God. Thy name to be hallowed, thy kingdom to come, thy will to be done. Part two is about us. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us into temptation. I mean, lead us not into temptation. Well, I guess some of us do get led into temptation. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us. So we got four S's and three thys. So seven petitions. Seven is a sacred number in the Bible. To seven oneself is called Shiva, and it means to swear a covenant. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the name Father is mentioned by Jesus when he refers to God as our, his, yours, 17 times. That's more times than mentioned in the whole Old Testament. And here's a parting thought for you from Dr. Scott Hahn. Sin distorts God to us. We sin and we think, oh my gosh, I got to get to confession. But then you do it again and it seems less and then less and less because God's being faded out. He's being distorted. So your sin keeps you separated from God. So make sure to ask for God's forgiveness. And remember that our weaknesses are no match for the strength of God. And then, one more little card somewhere, and it really doesn't matter, but anyway, so that's what I have to say about that, and you can just read any one sentence out of that Lord's Prayer, and you can read, and it will take you to another thing, and you can read and read and read, and it goes deeper than the biggest hole, into China. And these two books I found in a thrift store, and they're awesome. This one is Understanding Our Father by Scott Hahn. I paid $2.99 for that. And this one is Praying the Lord's Prayer for Spiritual Breakthrough. And this one is by Elmer L. Towns. Both great books. So that's what I have to say. I hope I brought some kind of insight into you with the Lord's Prayer. And if you have any questions that I can answer, that would be great. If not, Kira can answer them. Josh can answer them. No questions? Thoughts? Okay, then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Wait, you want this back?
Yeah, I'll take that back.
There you go.
She's so fast.
I know.
Huh? We have some time, though, and I haven't done a Q&A in a while, so if you have any questions that you've been dying to ask about anything, hopefully Catholic related, because that seems to be more of my expertise, we'll try to answer some questions. So if you have any questions, totally.
Their knowledge.
Yes.
So, as mentioned, like, we say amen, not sure. Our Father, but in Mass, we don't say amen, or should we say our Father?
Because we have the doxology part, and then we do say amen together, but yeah, it's kind of left out. And yeah. I noticed, so there's a part in between the Our Father and the doxology, and that's why you were referring to how it was a part of the Church of England. So we put that little place in the middle so that you don't think that they're together, because they are separated by words that the priest says, and then we finish up with the yeah, part. So, question, yeah. Yes?
I forget why it's Our Father and not My Father. Do you know the
reason? Because we're communal people. Yeah, good question though. Yeah, and you could, in private prayer, if you wanted to do that as a reflection, like take Our Father and make it very personal and be like, My Father, who art in heaven, give me this day my daily bread. I think that would be a beautiful reflection to do. But good question. Anybody else? Something about Mary saying something? Okay.
What's the difference between a novena and a litany?
Okay, so a novena and a litany. So novena is a 9-day prayer. So it's every day for 9 days, or you can do an hour novena, where it's every hour for 9 hours. I don't know if you can you do 9 months, like every month for 9 months? Any 9, I think, will work.
You can do like a 54-day novena.
You can. Yeah, there's a beautiful rosary that's a 54-day novena. My family's done that a couple times. Actually, cool story, I did that once for, my friend had, this was a couple of years ago. She had gotten COVID, and she had an asthma attack and didn't have an inhaler, and she ended up having a stroke and a heart attack, all of that at one time. And she's a couple years older than me. And went rushed to the hospital, had a big brain bleed, they had to take half her skull off of the swelling.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, I was there with her family when the surgeons were like, you should probably be ready to say goodbye. Oh, like, this isn't gonna turn good. We did a 54-day novena, and she is healed. The stroke took its toll, but she's, I haven't seen her in a while, unfortunately, but she was doing better through working with a therapist, and God heard her, so very beautiful answer to prayers. And then a litany is kind of like, it's like there's parts of it that you say, and then there's a repeated. So like, the litany of humility is one of my favorite prayers, and it'll say like, completely my brain, but it will have like a word that you or a phrase that you say after each part,
deliver me Jesus.
Yeah, deliver me Jesus. Jesus grant me the grace to desire it. Very hard prayer that I can't remember right now, but I prayed on Hallow and flowing for Hallow. So, so it has a response that you say over and over again. And I didn't grow up with prayers like that, and I was always very suspect of them, but then I noticed there's parts of Daniel and stuff that do the same thing. There's psalms that do litanies, and they'll have the same response, and so I'm like, oh, it's in the Bible. So, church is probably right on the money as usual. So, good question, though. Yes?
What does it mean to choose a patron saint name?
Okay, so choosing a patron saint, you're kind of asking for a guide. So the saints are in heaven and more alive than we are, right? Because, yes, they've died, but they are in heaven, so they're very much alive. And they want to help you get there. So my saint is Mary Magdalene, and I ask her to pray for me. I don't worship her. I don't, like, she's my invisible friend. But she's my friend in heaven that is praying for me to help get there. I mean, it's kind of weird when you don't grow up with it, speaking from experience. She's just somebody that, it's funny, she'll pop up in the weirdest kind of coincidences, and I'll be like, oh, okay, like she's coming back in heaven. And when you're picking your saint, and I've said this before in here, don't overthink it. Like, you can have multiple people in heaven praying for you. And I always make the joke that there's not a saint in heaven that's going to go, oh, Scott, yeah, no, sorry, not that guy, I'm not praying for him. They're all holy and in heaven, so they all want to help you. So you can't go wrong. And if you pick somebody and then another saint calls you, if you saw my rosary, I have like 50 medals on there. Like, I've got an army going on. So, yeah. Good question. Yes.
In case you want help.
Yeah.
I overthought it.
You did not listen.
So I went to saintdiscoveryquiz.com and it could have been more perfect.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
St. Augustine of Hippo.
Yeah.
I like, wow. Wow. Awesome. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
My son takes St. Augustine, too.
So
and then his school has houses, and he's in House Augustine. He didn't get a pick. He just picked it. So things like that are constantly coming up in his life.
That's cool. Yeah, I also thought it. But that's neither here nor there. I found out after the fact that there is a novena series. For my patron, do all saints have that at different points throughout the year, or is that just specific to any certain?
I don't think all saints do, just because when we've done, when we did our saint walk, it was very hard to find some prayers for some of the saints. Sometimes you can find prayers that like have the saint name in them, but not all saints were like prayer writers.
Yeah.
It's
a cool bonus. I didn't know getting into when I made my choice.
Yeah.
Right. I had a second question, actually.
Yeah.
Working on my picture.
Right. Okay, so this is, I designed this actually. I am the youth director and we went to Steubenville last year and this was the shirts we designed. I was thinking, I should like print a bunch of these and sell them as a fundraiser for the youth group because it's pretty cool. And it says, and with your spirit on the back. I had people stop and be like crazy, like, where can I find that? I was like, you can't have a talk. Thank you. I was thinking, there's a novena to St. Teresa the Little Flower that supposedly, and I never tried it because I cannot remember for 9 days to pray a prayer, that you're supposed to have flowers that show up. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
My family does that quite often. They have an affinity towards the little flower. And on multiple occasions by my sister and my grandmother, when they finished it, a rose popped up somewhere in their life, in their house, in the garden that wasn't supposed to be there.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. My favorites that I actually have stuck with. my husband was recently going through a really hard time at work. And so we did the novena as a family, the prayer rosary as a family at night, and we did this Mary Undoer of Knots to kind of undo the things that were going. And then we did, right after that, we followed it with a surrender novena. And it really did help him. Things got better, and, you know, whether things really changed or his perspective changed, it doesn't matter. She can work with either one. So getting Jesus and Mary to work on him.
Big one coming up is the Divine Mercy.
Yes. When does that start? It
starts on Good Friday.
Okay. So on Good Friday, you can start the Divine Mercy campaign. Divine Mercy chaplet is, if the rosary seems daunting, it's like a cheater one. It's a little shorter. And it's the same beat, so you don't have to buy anything new. One of my favorite prayers. It's very calming.
It ends on the following Sunday, so Divine
yes.
Mercy Sunday.
Yes, ends on Divine Mercy Sunday.
You mentioned the Hollow app, and I've seen ads for it. Can you say a little bit about it?
Yeah, so it's a paid app, not sponsored, should be, recommended, like crazy. My whole family, I have a family subscription, and my kids use it on their phones, and it's full of prayers. I wish I had pulled up on TV, I'd show you. But,
what's the login for your family plan?
Yeah. That's a good question, I like that. Not answering it, though. It's amazing. There's tons of rosaries. I've been a Hallow subscriber since there was like 5 prayers on there. Now there's tons. There's so much I can't keep up. They do a Lenten challenge every year, which I've failed to keep up with.
Good job. It's good.
I know. It's good. Oh my goodness. So good. They're doing the Brothers of Karamazov,
yep.
Which I bought a copy and I'm really trying to get into it. I'm struggling. But yeah, so many good prayers.
And Bible of the year, the Catechism of the year.
And that's where I go to listen to it because it keeps track of what I've done and what I haven't. I also love the music. I like Catholic Lo-Fi, so I listen to that on there a lot. So, highly, highly recommend.
There's a lot of introduction to prayer on there too. Like if you're first starting, like how to pray and what things to pray. It really guides you.
Yeah, there's some Latin prayers on there too. So
they recently added AI to it.
But a holy one. Like truthfully.
It just like scans the catechism.
Truthfully is another good app. I paid for that one too. And that's it's AI. Matt Fred talks about it. It's like AI got baptized. but I sometimes use it for research for classes too. It's like, how would you present this? Any more questions? Yeah.
How do you pray? So do you say it for every single bead on it? And then there's the red beads. I don't know if those, are they different prayers?
Yeah, so the 10 beads together. Actually, one of the videos I sent out yesterday, I'm really sorry to get that out. You may not have gotten it. Did you get the?
I probably got it.
Okay, so it has how to pray the rosary on it.
Okay.
So, but the 10 beads together are Hail Mary beads. The ones in the middle are Our Father beads. Those other prayers at the end. So just Google how to pray the rosary and you'll find it.
Scott,
you can find
that's a really good.
Yeah, Scott Kahn, Dr. Remy prays on Hallow, which is cool, and kids like him.
So to pray the whole rosary, you would do the 10 Hail Marys, and then Our Father, then the 10 Hail Marys, and then go all the way down.
And there's glory beads too. So
every month has a, like each day, like Monday for the Joyful Mysteries, Tuesday for the Sorrowful Wednesday is the glorious, or the glorious, and then was the Thursday is the
Luminous.
So each day, it gives you something to focus on.
It follows the life of Jesus and Mary. Also, it's a meditative prayer. So when you're saying the prayers, you're like thinking about the mysteries.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, that's why you have the beads, because you don't want to sit there and be like, okay, one, Hail Mary, Holy Grace. Like, it's kind of like where you do it while you're thinking of something. Yes. Very meditative.
On the topic of the Our Father, when we say it in church, are we supposed to have our hands out, or like hold hands, or?
People say that yes.
A lot.
Yes. You see this? We're not Pentecostal. I know. It's like one of those things that crept in and someone did, and they're like, oh, I guess we're supposed to be doing this. I don't know why. The priest is doing it. So I have this funny meme that says, it shows a priest holding it, and he's like, I didn't say silence is. Yeah. So always when you're wondering what the correct posture is, look at the deacon if they're up there. Usually you can wait, holding their hands together.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. You don't call for a priest. So it's not a sin to do it, but yeah, I know. There are certain churches that really do a lot. I think we're getting better here, and I'm always like, I just want to go up there and be like, guys, just stop. Gives me grace to like not say what I'm thinking. Not crazy. Yes.
Can you talk about liturgy of the hours?
Oh. Yeah. I give you that. Liturgy of the Hours.
It's on
Hallow. It's on Hallow, too. Get Hallow, guys. I'm going to tell Paul. Like, so I'm paying a expense request for a parish wide subscription. Only, I don't know how much that is, but probably a lot. Do you pay liturgy of the Hours, Ryan? Does anybody in here? You may volunteers? You pay it?
Aiden does.
Aiden's going to talk about it because I don't.
So yeah, there's like 7 times you pray throughout the day. The like kind of core ones are morning and evening prayer. So Vespers, Lauds, what they're called. You just pray, they have a book for it, and you pray the Psalms. So you just pray like 3 Psalms a day. There's a reading from some part of the Bible. It kind of follows the same pattern as like Mass. There's prayers for petition and stuff like that. Pray to Our Father. And at any time of liturgy, there's pray to Our Father. But yeah, there's just, and then you can do like midday prayer, afternoon prayer, night prayer, and then there's like office readings, which monks are supposed to pray like 3 a.m., but everybody else just prays at the morning.
So I will say, I have tried to start the habit of it in the future. And there is an app that you can get. It's Divine Office.
It's online. You can do it online, divineoffice.com. There's also like.
The singing's really bad though. That's what got me to not do it. One time, Father Tilly, no joke, gave me like pray the evening lauds or whatever as my penance. And I was like. So I'm familiar with it, but I know you can do it online. I know there's an app for it. I also found there's a YouTuber, I don't know the name. But he sings Liturgy of the Hours, and it's really beautiful. He has like this, he has a good voice, so the music's nice. You can find, I encourage you to go looking and find what you can find out there. Make sure it's Catholic.
Father does it at every Wednesday when we do the rosary. There's,
And he does a night prayer.
He does, vespers.
Yeah. My son does it at Blessed on Fridays.
But
I ate it so much. Any more questions? Okay, well, I think we can go ahead and break. If you think of questions, email me. I like answering questions because sometimes we'll have a question and we think, oh, this is stupid, but there could be 5 other people thinking the same question and everybody asks it. So we're all friends here. Nobody's going to judge you. There's no stupid questions either. Our church is very old. There's a lot to it. So let's go ahead. I'm not going to pray to bless the food because we've already eaten. But go ahead. If you have a star, go get measured for your owl if you haven't yet. And then you can go into the church. Please don't bring any food or drink into the sanctuary.
and we're going to have Mass. You don't have to stay for Mass if you're not part of the elect, but I encourage you to, because it'll be you one day, and we're all supporting each other. So it's a beautiful, it's always a beautiful thing when Jesus is present.